final question for you, Mr. Eisenhower. I'm looking at the sisu tree that's on our article this week. You can see it, rosieonthehouse.com. It talks about all these plants that we've been talking about this hour that can create problems and can be very vigorous growers. Looking at the sisu tree, let's put it in a smaller backyard, and it needs to be trimmed. How far down back can you trim it and just let it start regrowing before it sends messages to its shoots? Hey, go sprout. Could I cut this tree back 50% and then just do that every 4 or 5 years as it needs be?
Well, it's just a normal pruning of a tree. It's not going to be causing an imbalance in this. These two hormones, auxin and cytokinin, work together. There's a shoot to root equilibrium, and it's not thrown off by typical pruning. But if severe heavy pruning is done, it does kick in and send a message for kind of unbalances these two chemicals that will send will cause some additional root activity. So you wouldn't want to cut it back really heavily, no.
Okay.
But it seems to be that, our experience has been that when you cut them back all the way, cut them down, you will get a major response of root growth. And, some trees sucker right from the stump themselves. You'll get a lot of suckers coming right up from the stump. But these trees have the capacity, as I said, to send up new shoots, new trees from anywhere those roots are located in your yard. And it's a total nightmare. It's a disruption of a lot of your hardscape elements we've seen. I've served as an expert witness on two lawsuits where neighbors have sued their neighbors. The tree owners, because the roots have gone into their yards from their neighbor's yard once their neighbor removed their sisu tree. So really problematic and something to be aware of when you purchase these trees, that they need a lot of room. We don't recommend them because of those potential problems.
And are you allowed to share the outcome of those court cases?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they all settled, but, I haven't gone back. I provided my independent report to both of them, and they were submitted to their attorneys or to the triers of fact in court. But, I did not. I never sat through an actual lawsuit. I was deposed and then provided written reports, but I don't know the outcome of them. But they are so complicated. Tree law varies from state to state, and there's a lot involved in responsibility that tree owners have. And you can't. There's probably another program would be good to talk about some of the finer nuances of what you're allowed to do to your neighbor's trees that are encroaching on your property, because there are some restrictions and limitations on what you're allowed to do, even though your neighbor's trees are causing a nuisance or a problem, either the above ground parts of the tree growing over your yard and maybe presenting a potential hazard. A risk of branch breakage, or if they're actually causing problems with litter in your yard or other problems. And then, of course, the roots that are growing from your neighbor's yard across the property line into yours. There are some, as I said, the case law and regulations differ from state to state, but interesting to know what you're allowed to do. Maybe we can talk about that another day.
Okay. Well, quickly, we have Rebecca who wants to talk about a leaning tree, which I know you're on your way to address a few of those now. Let's see if we can help Rebecca. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you? How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got a big tree. I can't remember what type it is. I bought it because it doesn't shed a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's just a beautiful big green tree. Got blown a little, leaning a little bit a year or so ago. Right now, we've got it tied up with a winch and a really good cable system, and we'd like to start jacking it back the other way. What would you recommend to put on the side that's leaning to kind of, that won't hurt the tree yet, what we can do to get it a little more up again?
Well, at about shoulder height, how big a diameter is the trunk?
Wow, it's
can you put both your hands around it,
No, it's gotten big. It's a good
if the tree's been, if it leaned and it's been sitting in that position for a year, it has probably been has re-anchored and put roots down in that location the chance of bringing it back up are pretty slim. I wouldn't think you'd be able to do that with a larger tree. If it's just recently fallen over, like if some of our listeners had a tree fall over last night or start to lean over, now is the time to try to bring it back up best you can using a come along, or like you said, or a winch, and trying to straighten it back up. Sometimes you can even, if the angles are right, you can use a car, you know, with a toe strap or something to pull it back into position. Then you do need to anchor it in place for at least a year or two so it can get re-anchored in that new location. What we've normally recommended with larger trees like you're describing is once it's fallen over and it's been there for a while, that the beauty is that it didn't fall over. The fact that it didn't fall over shows you that the roots were anchored well enough to keep it upright. So we encourage our customers just to leave it in a lean like that. Let it get stay in that location. Don't try to disrupt the efforts it's made to try to get reestablished in that new position. Don't disrupt that by pulling it back up now and tearing and breaking some of those roots that it sent out this last year. That's our recommendation.
Let's see if we can help Frank real quick, and then we'll let John get on to his customers. Go ahead, Frank, calling from in Tucson about an ocotillo.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
Okay. Well, he has an ocotillo that was uprooted. Those are hard enough to transplant by themselves.
I've seen them blow completely over, redig the hole, set them back up, and they re-root.
Yeah, they can. If they've broken off above the roots, that's a different story. But if they've actually uprooted and there's still enough root material that's connected to the bottom of the ocotillo stalks, then you'll be able to hopefully put those back under soil, water them in. We always tell people if you've had a tree that's uprooted and you pull it back up, first, water the area really well, get this soil saturated, make a bit of a slurry of soil and water all around it, so you can really, you won't do as much damage when you try to pull them back up. And that will, and then as you do get it back up in position, continue to add water until the soil is just muddy, and use a shovel to kind of poke down into the slurry to let any air pockets out. And the soil and the water will fill all the voids down underneath the soil and give it a real good chance of getting reset in that new location.
Well, hope that helps, Frankie. And, John, we appreciate your time. Moral of the story in this lesson, if you have a sisu tree, don't cut it down.
This is true, yes. Guys, have a great weekend. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
He's going to be busy the next few days.
Oh, don't you know.
A lot of down trees in the area, that's for sure. So catclaw, oleander, sisu, few of the plants that do so well in Arizona that you want to think twice before you plant them. Because if, in fact, your plans change and you ever want to get rid of them, they can be very, very tough to get rid of. And on that ocotillo for Frankie, just a personal story. We had a neighbor just down the street from us a couple years ago, had a beautiful ocotillo blow over in the front yard in one of these horizontal wind-blowing monsoons. And in my selfish little self, I think, well, I'm gonna do them a favor, and I'm going to go knock on their door and ask them if I can cut that ocotillo up and use the stalks to line my garden, because that's what I want my garden wall to be. The
you see a lot of old corrals like that.
Yeah, it gives you a real authentic Arizona look. And I thought I'd be greeted with open arms. I thought she may even wrap her arms around me and give me a big old smooch on the cheek. And I knocked on the door and I said, I'll take that ocotillo and, you know, get it off your property. She looked at me like I was a thief and a crook. She says, oh no, we're going to replant that. I just kind of giggled to myself, and I said, okay, good luck. And she left it down for like a month. And I kept thinking, was she ever going to get back to that? And sooner or later, she finally got back to it. And you know what? That ocotillo is doing absolutely looks great today. And it was down on the ground for about a month. So I wouldn't encourage that as a treatment plan for your ocotillo, but they are, by nature, a very, very sturdy plant as well. So if they've blown over and haven't snapped at the root line, you can probably, that's an issue of soil saturation where the root ball comes up with it at the same time. you've got that root ball on there, stand her back up. Stake her off for a little while. Put her a little water on it. She'll take right back off.
Well, good luck. We appreciate the call. If you have a question, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can get the entire article. If you get our weekly newsletter, you already had the link to it in there, or you can find it at rosieonthehouse.com. Just scroll down to the bottom of the homepage and check on it's in the blog.
The newsletter you can subscribe to for free. It hits your email box every Thursday, and it's where you get our weekly article now. And the weekly article is The Plants That Do Too Well. We've got a weekly article coming up next week about building that villa or mother-in-law suite, part two. We already did part one on that a couple weeks ago, and it was received with so much response that we got such a wave of questioning about, well, what did you mean here and what did you mean there, that we're actually going to do mother-in-law quarters part two next week. So subscribe to the newsletter, rosieonthehouse.com. It comes to your email box every single Thursday, and it kind of gives you a notice as to what we're going to be covering that particular Saturday. It's called the topic of the week. It'll also indicate to you what that week's Saturday's lineup is, who our guests will be at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., and the 10 a.m. hour. It'll also include a segment on Rosie's weekly notes and trending topics, those issues that we're being hit with at the office on a regular basis during the week. One of the things we're being hit with at the office on a regular basis this particular week is a scam that's going on that I'd like to give you all an alert for. And we're actually going to have the Register of Contractors on next week visiting with us about, you know, what they're doing, especially with these storms coming through town now. You've got the storm chasers that come through. They always bring their own brand of misery and enforcement all by themselves. But right now we've got a scam going on at new homeowners are coming home and finding a what we call a door knocker marketing piece of material on the doorknob of their front door. It says, sorry, we missed you. Please call this phone number to activate this particular code. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's all I can tell you. Anybody soliciting you by phone that you haven't asked, or soliciting to you by direct mail that you haven't asked for, don't do it.